This is 89.1 KUAR. We're about to go live to the Arkansas State Capitol. Governor Asa Hutchinson is to give another one of his daily briefings on the COVID-19 situation in Arkansas. At this point, the Department of Health reporting on its website that we have.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And the governor's now at the podium. Let's go live.
Bears mask today. That was proudly given to me, and I'm glad to have that. I also want to recognize today as National Nurses Day. And, of course, this is significant that we're in the middle of this crisis, that we're so heavily dependent upon our nurses that are doing such an incredible job for us. We wanted to recognize them today and what they do for us. I'm pleased to be joined in this daily COVID-19 update by Dr. Nate Smith, our Secretary of Health. We also have Stuart Walton, the chairman of our Economic Recovery Task Force. Of course, Director A.J. Geary is here as well. In terms of the case update, yesterday we had 3,496 cases. We had an additional 72 cases since yesterday, and we have for a total of 3,568 cases today. We had 20 of those cases that were in the Correctional Institute. In terms of hospitalizations, we went from 89 hospitalizations down to 69 hospitalizations. That's a very significant drop. In terms of deaths, we've had, now we have 85 deaths total, so that's an increase of, I believe it is, 2 from yesterday. Let's look at this from the chart standpoint, then I want to come back and talk about testing in the end. So here's the traditional chart, the number of new cases each day, beginning in March 11, all the way through, downward trajectory. Of course, we've had a little uptick today, but whenever you're looking at 70 new cases in the course of a day, that's still going the right direction. 7-day rolling average of cases. You can see the 7-day rolling average is still going in the right direction. That's the orange line. And then the next chart is the hospitalizations. And of course, here again, we saw the peak of hospitalizations at 110. And since then, we've primarily been going in the right direction. There'll always be some up and down in those charts. This is let's slow down just a little bit here. Now we're going to the SEC, the comparison. And so just a couple of charts that we can talk about in terms of our fellow southern states, the SEC states. And these are hospitalizations per 100,000. So it's a per capita measurement. And as you can see, Arkansas is fourth from the last. Again, this is not sports. It's okay. And we, of course, Georgia, that's really had a hot spot there, Mississippi, Florida in terms of hospitalizations, Louisiana, Kentucky, on and on. So comparatively, we are really in good position, and Missouri's doing very well as well. And then the next slide, again, is the SEC states again. These are cases per 100,000, and here we are down with Oklahoma, which is not an SEC state, so I don't know why that's on there. But we have Louisiana again, top, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, and on down. So Arkansas looks good there. Of course, everybody says, well, how are you doing on testing? And this will be the illustration of our test. And this is tests per 100,000, so it's per capita test. And of course, Louisiana has tested more. Why has Louisiana tested more? Obviously, because they were a hot spot, had an incredible demand and a need for it. Tennessee has been somewhat of a hot spot. They've had, and they've really pushed their testing as well. Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia, Arkansas. And so Arkansas is not in the forefront of our testing. That's to be acknowledged. But we're still right in the middle rankings of the states in terms of our testing, and it's increasing in its capacity. And I think that's, let's see what the next slide is. And this is just, I'm going to come back to testing, but this slide I wanted to set the stage for Dr. Smith. This is the growth rate of new cases in Arkansas. And this is just a small sampling, May 5th through 6th, so it's just a couple of days sampling. But this is, you know, 2.5%, again, not huge percentage points of growth, but it's interesting that the two age groups that we had the highest growth rate during that time period was 18 through 24 and 65 plus. It's just a reminder that every age group can be impacted and can test positive for COVID-19. With that, I wanted to come back and talk about the testing more. We have continued to increase our capacity in testing. We set a goal of having the two-day surge. We went really from about 1,000 testing up to 1,500, and we've stayed right at 1,500 or more tests every day since then. The last 24 hours, we've done 1,682 tests. One of the challenges in increasing testing is to have the kits, to have the swabs, to have the transported kits that we need for sending it to the lab. And this impacts our ability to increase testing in the commercial labs because it has to be sent to them, it has to be collected, you know, at different sites across Arkansas. And so we've received, and I'm pleased to say, we've received a commitment from the CDC, the federal government, to provide us 90,000 kits and swabs in the month of May. Now, this is, we're waiting for our first shipment this week. We hope to receive that, and it's supposed to come every week throughout the month. That will increase us to 90,000 kits and swabs in the month of May. This will allow us, when we start receiving this, to increase our commercial testing capacity all through the state. Our goal internally that we've set is that we will test in the month of May 60,000 COVID-19 tests. Now, what it takes to do that is, first of all, having the swabs and kits out properly distributed, and then secondly, there has to be a demand. The consumer, the patient, has to say, I fit the criteria and I need to be tested. But this is important for us to continue to increase our testing, and we'll talk about more of this on Friday of this week as to how we're going to achieve that 60,000 goal in testing. Finally, I wanted to mention that I did sign an executive order yesterday that hopefully will give some assistance to our oil and gas industry in South Arkansas. With the price of oil dropping dramatically, it's impacted our independent producers in South Arkansas, where it's not even cost effective for them to continue producing out of the wells with the price being so low. So we're taking some steps to address that. We are waiving the fee based upon my executive order for the annual well fee and the production assessment fees. This will help give some relief to our oil and gas industry in South Arkansas, and our oil and gas commission will be looking at this further as any other areas of relief that we can provide with them. With that, I wanted to invite Dr. Smith to come and make his comments.
Dr. Nate Smith, head of the Arkansas Department of Health.
In terms of the numbers, giving a few more details, the governor mentioned that we had 72 new cases since yesterday. Of those, 20 of them were from correctional facilities, they were all from the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City. So we had 52 community cases yesterday. Of our current 3,568 total cases, 1,374 are considered active cases. As the governor mentioned, we have 69 currently hospitalized. That's a net drop of 20 from yesterday. We have 14 currently on a ventilator. That's a net drop of 2. We have a total of 82 deaths. That is an increase of 2 from yesterday. One of those was an inmate from the Cummins unit. So we're up to a total of 6 deaths from the Cummins unit, and one of those was a nursing home death. So that's a total of 33 nursing home deaths. We have 2,109 who have recovered, and that's an increase of 59 from yesterday. In terms of updates from the nursing homes, we have a total of 264 residents that have tested positive. That's an increase of 3. 149 staff members, that's an increase of 1 from yesterday. And we have from the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City, we are now at 301 inmates who have tested positive. That's an increase of 37. Those 37 are not yet reflected in our numbers. Those tests are being done by the CDC, and some are done on site using an Abbott ID Now instrument that they have at the FCI. I'd like to give an update on our COVID-19 dental advisory group. We met yesterday. It was a call, and it was open to the public. We discussed particularly the directive to allow non-urgent treatment for dental cases. There were a number of issues that were raised based on the input that we had on the start date, when that directive would be effective. We have decided to move that to May 11th. So that directive will go into place May 11th instead of May 18th. That was based on input from the Dental Association primarily, where they went through some of the steps that have been taken to prepare, and they felt that most of the dentists had adequate supplies of personal protective equipment, PPE, and had protocols in place that would help protect their patients and their staff. Not every dental office will be ready, but those who are wanted to have the ability to start seeing patients, since it's been a while since they were able to see patients. We were concerned about monitoring compliance with the directive, what we will be doing is the Department of Health will be working closely with the Arkansas Board of Dental Examiners to include some unannounced visits to practices, just to monitor compliance, make sure that everything is going as it should. And that'll be, again, in conjunction with the Board of Dental Examiners. I want to talk a little bit about age distribution. As the governor showed with that graph, our fastest increases for the last 2 days in terms of age groups have been in the 18 to 24 year range and the over 65. Of course, the majority of actual cases are in between. I've heard from a number of people, they think that this is something that only older people get, and that actually is not true at all. And it's been a while since I've gone through the percentages by age, and I thought I'd go ahead and do that. It's a lot of numbers, but in our 0 to 17 age range, the children, we've only had 3.2% of our cases. In the 18 to 24, we've had 8.3% of our total cases. 25 to 44 year range, we've had 38%. That's the largest by percentage group, is in that 25 to 44 year age range. 45 to 64 has been 33.6. That's the second highest. And among those 65 years of age and older, it's 16.9%. So we are very concerned about those over 65 and those who have underlying medical conditions, because they are at highest risk for severe complications, hospitalization, or even death. But the majority of people who have been infected in Arkansas are really in those younger age groups. And so it's very important that everybody take those precautions, the social distancing, hand washing, wearing a mask out in public. And these are things that will help to prevent the spread, not only for older people, but for the younger people as well. And lastly, I wanted to also talk about growth areas where we've seen the most rapid increase in cases over the last 2 days. The two regions have been Northeast and the Southwest. In the southwest, it's been primarily the Texarkana area. In the northeast, it's been both Jonesboro and West Memphis. And we also have seen in the southeast an emerging hot spot in the Forest City area as well. So in terms of what the governor said about testing, it's important that if you have symptoms consistent with COVID-19, regardless of what age you are, that you seek out testing. But also those who are doing testing, practitioners, hospitals, those who are doing the mobile units, these are some of the areas that we need to target. Texarkana area, the Jonesboro area, West Memphis, and as I've mentioned, Forest City. So we want to increase testing, and we want to make sure that we're increasing our testing where it's most needed. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, and I'm delighted to have Stuart Walton with us today. They've been working very diligently on the Economic Recovery Task Force, and whenever you see the other states that are struggling and the fact that we've had such a hit to our economy, this task force is really doing incredible, important work for our state. So Stuart, if you could come give us a report on the task force and what's ahead.
Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon. It was just 3 weeks ago when this task force was sort of created more or less out of thin air, and I didn't know what I was doing any more than anyone else did, I can promise you that. But I'm really encouraged by the progress that we're making. We're working almost daily, if not daily, to get the state reopened. And you're starting to see some early but important steps being taken towards getting the state's economy reopened. We are launching a website this Friday, which will be a resource for business owners, employees, and just the state of Arkansas generally. It will be a source of information, and we hope that everybody can benefit from providing a consolidated area for some of these guidelines that we're working on issuing, or we're working with the Department of Health on issuing. Each of Secretary Preston, Secretary Hurst, and Secretary Ward, I must say, is doing an outstanding job leading the committees that they're responsible for, scheduling meetings. We had a meeting with the Ag Committee this week with talking with large businesses, small businesses from right across the state, and a lot of good insights and a lot of consistent themes, as I mentioned last time. Now, you know, more than ever, we need Arkansas businesses to lead by example, and that's also becoming clear. I also talked about a little of the entrepreneurial spirit and the innovation that we're going to need to see from businesses. And we're hearing all these stories about businesses from across the state adapting their product lines, they're changing the way that they do business in order to thrive and survive in this new normal. My favorite story is the distillery Rocktown changing out their spirits line for hand sanitizer. Clearly, this is a disappointing development to some of their loyal customers. But I can also tell you that it's an encouraging sign of solidarity, of working together, and of actually looking at an opportunity and having an opportunity mindset when you're looking at your business. So we applaud their work, and I know the healthcare professionals do as well. It does remain important that businesses set the example in terms of following the guidelines issued by the Department of Health. I just can't emphasize enough how important that is, because across the board, as people start to re-engage in the economy, we are going to have to find a way to do so in a safe way, and the best way we know how to do that is by following these guidelines from the Department of Health. Finally, I want to just make a point that the guidelines are imperfect, and we realize that, and we're trying to do the best that we can, and we'll have to adjust them as we go along. But they're not going to suit everybody, they're not going to suit every business, and they are guidelines. The task force recognizes that the business leaders in their communities with their businesses are best positioned to figure out how to open their doors for customers again in a way the customers will find inspiring, in a way that their employees will find inspiring. And while we're trying to provide guidelines in the most helpful way possible. It really is the responsibility of business leaders to step up to the plate and show us what good looks like. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stuart, and I can attest to their hard work. I was also in some businesses this last weekend, and one of them was setting the perfect example in terms of mass social distancing, example of their staff that was doing that, which set the example for all the customers, but then other businesses not so much. And we hope that every employer will really look at how they can set the right example and keep us moving down the right path of opening our economy and getting it stronger. With that, we'll turn it over for any questions.
We're listening to a live press conference, Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking about the COVID-19 situation. This is KUAR 89.1.
There will be 90,000 swabs and kits that come in, which is our greatest need, and they will come to the Department of Health. And the Department of Health then will distribute them as needed to the different spots and healthcare providers and testing clinics around the state.
Is there a particular reason his comment about most of the hot spots being in around bordering communities? Do you have an explanation for that? People from other states affecting us?
Two of the areas that have had growth are West Memphis and Texarkana, and those are on the border. We know that Memphis has had quite a few cases, and there's a expected spillover there. And then Texas overall has had not a particularly high case per population, but in their urban areas they've had quite a bit of growth. So yes, Arkansas, as the governor showed yesterday, has got one of the lower rates of cases per population and declining rate of growth in our region. So there is always the risk of cases being brought over across our state lines. That's just a part of the reality.
Where are you in terms of, when are you going to be done testing at Cummings, and what are the updated numbers?
The question is, when will we be done testing at Cummins? We'll be done testing in Cummins when we stop having people who are symptomatic or need to be tested. Even those who have tested negative previously, if they develop symptoms, we're going to go ahead and test them. So our plan is for these two barracks, and we hope to have those results in a day or two. But we will test wherever it's indicated.
Clarify the number of deaths again. I believe you guys said two different numbers.
Yes, it's 85. It's a increase of two from yesterday.
You were just talking about the hotspots. What about Jonesboro and then in Forest City? Is that just the prison, or is it like the area surrounding the prison?
Well, Forest City, we don't have a large number of cases, but as particularly the UAMS has done community testing there now, I think three times, and each time they've detected more cases. So we're concerned. We know that not only do you have a large number of inmates in the FCI, but also a large number of workers. The testing of those workers was beginning today, and we should, I believe yesterday and today, we should be getting results from those in the next few days. Obviously, the workers go back and forth between the Correctional Institute and the community, and so wherever we have a positive test in a worker, we'll have a contact tracing to do in the community as well. So we will be increasing the testing in that community. Again, that's not the largest hotspot by any means, but all of our urban areas are at risk. But in terms of the areas the last 2 days where we've seen the most rapid growth are in the northeast region and the southwest region.
Did you say Jonesboro also?
Within Northeast, it's really West Memphis and Jonesboro where we're seeing the most number of active cases right now. I don't have a particular reason why Jonesboro. I mean, it is an urban area, relatively urban area in that region, and the numbers, the absolute numbers are not huge there. Actually, Crittenden County has more than Craighead County by more than twofold, but in terms of the growth, increased numbers of cases.
To reach the goal of testing 60,000 people this month, will you be loosening any of the eligibility requirements to get tested?
The eligibility requirements are pretty loose right now. Anyone who has symptoms, anyone who has a history of exposure either through travel or through contact with a known or suspected case, but also testing those who are as part of contact tracing, and then of course we've had our hospitals and surgical centers doing testing before elective surgical cases.
Are you guys doing any random, I guess, drop-ins with other, I guess, medical industries beyond dentists, also optometrists, PCPs also?
No, we've not been doing that. Each of those has a licensing board. In this case, the Arkansas Board of Medical Examiners, I had a conversation with them, and they don't have the capacity by themselves to check in on all these practices, and since it's a time-sensitive situation, we'll work with them. They are now part of the Arkansas Department of Health, so it's appropriate that we supplement them when they need it.
Let's take a question remotely. Is there a question remotely?
Yeah, this is Andrew with AP. On the testing, on the testing, 60,000. I wanted to see if you had, I guess, what the average number is for testing that's conducted in a month, or I guess what the total number was in April, just for context. And also the commitment from CDC. Have you gotten any commitments on kits beyond the month of May in future?
Yes, Andrew, you're drifting away. Can you speak a little bit closer?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
It's better.
Sorry. On the testing, I wanted to see if you had numbers for what the average number of tests that you conduct in a month are, or what the number for April was, just for some context on that 60,000 number. And also wanted to see, has the CDC given any commitment on testing kits beyond the month of May?
The answer to your last part of the question is that's an ongoing commitment that they will meet. And so it's 90,000 this month. Of course, we want to see the delivery of those. And if we don't receive the delivery, we're hampered in accomplishing our objective. But this is a great boost for us to have that commitment for that supply chain, not just this month, but next month and on. And so we're satisfied with that. In terms of the historic level in which we've tested, if I recall right, we were testing about 1,000 a day until we had the two-day surge in which we elevated it to about 1,500 a day that we were grew to test. And since then, we're at 1,500, 1,600, that level in testing. So, to accomplish a 60,000 goal of testing in the month of May, we've got to make up ground for the first 5 days, but also accelerate it to about 2,000 tests a day. So it's a significant step forward, and I've asked Dr. Smith to really outline some specific goals that we hope that we can present in terms of how we're going to achieve that. Obviously, we need the assistance of the hospitals and others that are doing the testing. Do you have anything to add to that, Dr. Smith? All right, anything else remotely?
Yes, Governor, good afternoon. This question is really for Dr. Smith, and that is when you gave the age ranges for the test from May 5th to May 6th, but it's hard to put those in context without knowing how many of those age ranges were tested. Can you shed any light there?
I don't have information on how many were tested. That's challenging for us because most of these are going to commercial labs, and we don't hear about those tests until we receive the results. We can break those down and look at those. But I think we have been, over the course of this epidemic, focusing mostly on the older groups. In fact, that was part of the testing criteria initially, is 65 and older. But we appreciate that we are seeing actually the majority of our cases are in those who are younger than 65. So it's very important that we not focus all of our time and energy on just testing those greater than 65, that we test anyone in any age group who has symptoms that are compatible with COVID-19.
The majority of the people that are younger than 65, or the majority of those people have underlying conditions?
Yes, many do. In fact, I can provide some information on that. I think we put that regularly on our website as well. Not everyone, though, has underlying conditions. The underlying conditions are not so much a risk factor for being infected. They're a risk factor for developing complications. So you could be perfectly healthy and you still have the same risk of becoming infected with COVID-19, although your risk of ending up hospitalized or dead is much lower. Does that make sense?
Another question remotely.
Yes, sir. This is Drew Smith from the Times Gazette in Fort Smith. I was wondering, with the increase of testing, have the results, the labs been able to keep up with it? Because there are some people who are waiting up to 4 or 5 days or even a week to get their results.
Well, I know that was a challenge early on. I think it depends upon the lab that you're using. So some hospitals have commitments from the labs that they will get a return within 24 hours or 48 hours. And so it depends upon the lab that you're using and also how recent of information that is, because that sounds very a surprise to me. Most of the labs are getting the testing results in much quicker than that. Yes, ma'am.
I know that some schools have tentatively set plans, set dates for graduation after July 1st. Do you plan on releasing guidelines for graduations?
We would be able to do that as we get closer. I'd like to think that in July 1 we'll be in pretty good shape, but that depends upon everybody's behavior. But there still would be guidelines that we would need to set for that, and we would do that adequately in advance.
Well, we've got reports of there being people allowed to sort of just hang in restaurants for extended periods of time. Any thoughts on that, or kind of are we to that point yet? I know the directive or the restrictions doesn't get lifted until next week.
Restriction is lifted for restaurants for dine-in service next Monday. And of course, we'll have to look at bars beyond that at a little bit later time, but I know that they're anxious and want some guidelines that we'll be looking at. You know, in terms of people hanging around, that's not information that I've received or aware of. Obviously, we want people to follow the guidelines.
Penalty, though, if something like that does come up before we get to that May 11th?
Well, it would be a risk to the restaurant if they violated the guidelines. Any other question remotely? Any other question at the table?
Is there any recruitment efforts going on to kind of help supplement some of the prison workers and then I guess also nursing home workers, since those have been a couple of fields really hard hit?
Secretary Kelly and Dexter Payne are recruiting as fast as they can, and we've tried to make the pay more competitive so that we can retain those good officers that are really doing a great job for us. But it's a constant challenge. It was a real challenge, of course, whenever we had a 3.5% unemployment rate. And now the employment situation has changed in Arkansas, so we'll hopefully be able to continue those recruitment efforts.
Can you tell us how many of those workers have tested positive and are still working?
Dr. Smith, do you have that information?
No, I don't have numbers on that. I think that probably varies from day to day. It's really based on where they're needed. As I mentioned yesterday, that is not the first choice. The first choice is if someone tests positive, to isolate at home for, now we have 10 days is our new CDC guidance on that. In those cases where it would be dangerous not to have those workers there, if they're asymptomatic, we have set out conditions in which they can work only with positive inmates, or if it's a nursing home, positive patients, in such a way that would minimize the risk to others.
We have recovery numbers on those staff numbers as well?
At Cummins, in terms of the recovery number, I don't have.
You're talking about
Cummins?
Yeah, Cummins, just from a staff standpoint.
No, I don't have numbers on recovered from the Cummins staff.
Okay, I think that will be good for today. I will tell you that tomorrow we will be in Texarkana. Dr. Smith and I will be going there. I've talked to Mayor Brown. He's been a great partner with us, but they're on a border, and they've done a great job, and we want to be able to go there and listen to them, as well as have our daily update in Texarkana. So we'll be back here on Friday if we don't see you on Thursday. Thank you.
We've been listening live, Governor Asa Hutchinson and Dr. Nate Smith with the Department of Health, giving us the latest figures on COVID-19. Arkansas is now up to 85 deaths. That's two more since yesterday. One of those was from the Cummins unit, the state prison that has been hard hit in southeast Arkansas, while the other was from a nursing home. 72 new positive cases in Arkansas were announced since yesterday. The breakdown on that: 20 of the cases are from the federal prison in Forest City. The remaining 52 are community transmission cases, regular people. That's a total of 3,568 cases of COVID-19 in the state. In terms of hospitalizations, the number has dropped from 69 people, dropped from 89 people yesterday, 269, Governor Hutchinson calling that number very significant. Hutchinson also showed a few graphs suggesting Arkansas is doing well compared to other states in the region. Among southern states, the SEC, as he put it, Arkansas's fourth lowest per capita in the number of hospitalizations from COVID-19. Hutchinson said in-state testing is increasing to better help track infections. He said testing has gone up from about 1,000 a day to about 1,500 every day over the last 2 weeks. And he also announced that Arkansas will be receiving supplies needed for tests, getting 90,000 kits and swabs from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's 90,000 during the month of May, and expecting the first shipment to arrive this week. Dr. Nate Smith said that places where Arkansas is seeing the most increases are southwest Arkansas near Texarkana, in northeast Arkansas, Jonesboro, also in east Arkansas, West Memphis remaining a hot spot, Forest City also seeing an increase. That's where you've got the federal prison that has also seen an outbreak because of this. And finally, Stuart Walton, the chair of the governor's Economic Development Recovery Task Force, said that as businesses are reopening, several categories of businesses are allowed to reopen this week. He said it's vital for those businesses to set an example. As people start to reengage the economy, he said it's important that businesses follow guidelines from the Department of Health. Walton said the guidelines are imperfect, but will be adjusted as we go along, but said he recognizes business leaders will figure out how best to reopen their doors so that employees and customers are safe. But to recap, Arkansas now up to 85 deaths, two new cases since yesterday, and the number of cases has gone up, positive cases, to 72 new cases for a total of 3,568. I'm Michael Hiplin, KUAR News. Let's now join NPR's Here and Now in Progress.